to come up on the screen. The first one is this: Lord, you know me. Lord, you know me. He says, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. I was in Belfast on Wednesday, and I understand Wednesday was the Muslim feast of, I think it's pronounced Eid, E-I-D. And there were lots of men going around Belfast on Wednesday in traditional Islamic robes, many of them wearing pure white robes. But as I understand Islam, the God of Islam cannot be known personally. The God of Islam is distant and remote. But that's not the Lord of the Bible who is named here in verse 1, the covenant Lord of the Bible. David talks about God searching him and knowing him. Whether he's lying down or whether he's sitting up, but not just externally, God knows him internally. He knows his thoughts before he thinks them. He knows his words before he speaks them. God is personal. He's not remote. David senses that God has his hand upon him. God is not out there somewhere, some cold force field afar off, but God is personal. And in response from verse 6, David is in awe. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, he says. It is high. I cannot attain it. He's in awe of God's knowledge of him, in awe of God's engagement with him. He's in awe that God is just so great, all-seeing, all-knowing, and Lord, you know me. King Charles doesn't know you or me. Keir Starmer doesn't know you or me. But the God who made the universe, the God who is the Lord of the covenant, the great I am, says today, I know you. I know you. I know you. Your words, your thoughts, where you live, Lord, you know me. Secondly, that takes me on to even more staggering, Lord, you want me. He says in verse 7, where shall I go from your spirit, or where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. It's unnerving if you sense someone is watching you, that someone has eyes on you or even following you around like a tail. You'd be trying to shake them off and get away. And that's exactly how David feels when he senses that God is watching and God knows him. He considers running away, yet he says to himself, well, where exactly could I go if I decide to run away from God? If he goes up into the sky, obviously God is there. If he goes down into the depths, maybe into some deep coal mine or some cave or some pit, God is there. What about getting up at the scraek of dawn and getting on a ship and sailing to the furthermost parts of the earth? God is there. Maybe you should wait until nightfall and hide in the dark somewhere. There's no point doing that, for darkness is not dark to you, God. The night is bright as day. Darkness is as light to you. God has got night vision. theologians talk about the omnipresence of God. And that's what David has discovered. You can't run from God. You can't hide from God. You can't escape God. The presence of God by His Spirit is everywhere. Think of Jonah. The prophet, the Old Testament prophet, running away from God. But as he fled God and sailed across the Mediterranean from the far east of it to the far west of it, God met him on the ship. So start realizing that God, His hand is not only upon you, but He wants you. And the only thing keeping you from Him is you. Maybe nobody in all the world wants you. God wants you. Maybe your life is so chaotic and so swamped by demands upon your life, you feel you have no time for this or you have no time for that. Don't lose the wonder of God wanting fellowship with you. Jesus said, "You're my friends if you do what I tell you." And you and I may have fellowship with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. It's not that He needs us. God wants us. He wants fellowship. The third part of the psalm comes in verses 13 to 18. Lord, You keep me. For You formed my inward parts, verse 13. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are Your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In Your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for You, for me, when as yet there were none of them. David is now moving from his mother's womb to what Jesus talked about as the Father's room. You formed me, he says. There's the mother's womb, verse 13. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I mean, hold a baby, a newborn baby in your hands and look at it. Mother didn't make it. Father didn't make it. I know they were involved. But they're knit together by God. Made in the image of God. A mother's womb is a sacred place, hence the scandal of abortion on demand. For You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. But when he says in verse 18, I awake and I am still with you, traditional Jewish interpreters, I understand, see the reference to I awake as a reference to Resurrection Day. And if we follow that interpretation, then King David isn't just here considering his life from conception in his mother's womb, but he's tracing his life right through to glorification, from conception to glorification. In my Father's house, Jesus said, are many rooms, many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And there's great strength to be drawn from these words. We live in an age that has been called the anxious generation. But here God is showing King David and showing you and me through him that we can live confidently, that though there's much anxiety in our world, we have been seen from our mother's womb, and if we're in Christ, we will be kept right to our Father's house. He saw us when we were just a fetus. He saw us when we were an embryo and then a fetus. And every single day we have on earth has been ordained by God. You and I will not die a day before our time. We can live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's how much God thinks of us. Lord, you keep me. And that should be up on the screen for number three. Lord, you keep me. There's a modern hymn by Michael W. Smith called Above All. And the lyrics go like this in the hymn. Like a rose trampled on the ground, thinking of Jesus, like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. And that's exactly what David is saying here in verse 17. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they are more than the grains of sand. Lord, you keep me in your thoughts. More than the grains of sand on the seashore. I mean, go up to the beach there in Portrush and take a handful of sand in your hand and think of counting those grains of sand. I mean, you're just not going to do it. There's too many. David says, how vast, Lord, are your thoughts about me? If I were to count those thoughts, they are more than the grains of sand. Never, ever tell yourself or never, ever let anybody else tell you you're a nobody, a good for nothing, you're rubbish. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God? How vast is the sum of them? How vast? Sometimes when we face storms and stresses, we feel like we're losing our faith, losing our way. We're sinking under the weight of this or that, and we get disillusioned. But we need to remember, Lord, you keep me. He that is in us is greater than he that is in the world. And the fourth and final section is, Lord, you save me. Verse 19, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O men of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them my enemies. David recognizes that not everybody in the world, he's getting excited about God, but not everybody gets excited about God. He loves the Lord, but many people don't. He lived in a world where men of violence stalked the streets. He calls them men of blood. Where blasphemers take God's name in vain. Where so many were unashamed to call themselves atheists. And where they even gathered around David in verse 19 and threatened him. O men of blood, he says, go away from me. And just because we're walking with God doesn't mean that there will be threats that will come against us. There may well be threats from time to time. But as I listen to David talking about violence and blasphemy and people persecuting him and not sharing his love for the Lord, I tell you what, it sounds very like our life. We live in a world like this. And in a sense, it's a good lesson to draw out, for it's a reminder to us that there's no perfect generation in which to serve the Lord. Some people look back and they think the 1950s was a great decade, or the 19th century must have been great to have been alive in the 19th century, or the 18th century, or whatever it may have been great to have been alive in those days. But every generation has its naysayers. Every generation has its men and women of the world. Every generation has the secular, the skeptical, the profane. But Lord, you save me. In the midst of it, Lord, you save me. The grace of God has reached for me and saved me from the raging sea. And so as the psalmist ends in verses 23 and 24, he says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts and see if there be any grievous way in me and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh, other people may be against him and against the Lord, but he's going to keep his heart right before God. He's going to examine himself. Search me, O God, and know my heart. In the Lord he lives and moves and have his being. He knows he is the offspring of God, so he says, Lord, try me and know my thoughts. I'm an open book before you. He's going to keep spiritually open. He's going to keep his thought life clean. He's asking God to lead him, the very last line of the psalm, in the way everlasting. Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. Sometimes you hear people foolishly say that God helps those who help themselves. David knew apart from God, he could do nothing. Nothing. Lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. As I close, I don't believe it's any coincidence that Jesus said, I am the way. And that the early Christians were called people of the way. To be a believer, to accept Jesus, to receive him into your heart, and to live by faith in the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you is to be in the way everlasting. It's to be a spiritual man. It's to be a spiritual woman. The awareness that Christ in me, the hope of glory, that this life of faith is no formality. No ritual, no tradition I'm keeping up, but I experience it. I know it, that I am his and he is mine. So Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. You hear the spiritual man talking, praying. Could I ask today, as I finish, have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? For he is the way. Have you realized he knows you, he wants you, he keeps you, he saves you? For spiritual men and women, pray like David. And we need to be more spiritual men and more spiritual women. Lead me, Lord, in the way everlasting. Lead me, Lord. Breathe after God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Realize the presence of the Holy Spirit in your life. But most of all, rest in Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. I hear people say, oh, I'm a very spiritual man. Oh, I'm a very spiritual woman. And they don't know Christ. There is no spiritual life outside of Christ. It is in Christ the way everlasting is found. The personal knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this psalmist is just breathing it. He's just breathing it out. And I find myself so encouraged by this psalm and what it says to us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word and we thank you for the psalmist. For how so obviously he was experiencing you, that this was no formal saying his prayers type of thing, but this was a man who was walking with his God. Your word says that your spirit will not always strive with man. Lord, your spirit strives with your people. Strive with us, Lord. Help us to keep in step with the Spirit. Help us, Heavenly Father, to know the power of the Spirit. And Father, may we thus, with the Spirit of Christ inside us, be truly spiritual men and spiritual women living to the glory of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.